Every knee will bow down.
Every tongue will confess
that Jesus Christ,
that you are Lord. And every knee will bow down.
Every knee will bow down.
Every tongue will confess.
Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, you are Lord.
And our God, is champion. He reigns.
He reigns forevermore.
And our God, is champion.
He reigns forevermore.
Amen. Our God is champion. He reigns. He reigns. He is the only God, the one true God, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Lord, we come to you today. We yearn for you. We hunger for your presence, Lord. We come to praise you, to glorify you, to honor you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Thank you.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry.
So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
I'm broken.
Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open. Restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees. Oh, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So Restores my life. So I wait on you. So I wait on you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. So I wait. knees, offering all of me. Jesus, your all this heart is living for. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. So I wait for you.
Holy Spirit, come.
So I
HGB Church, welcome to those who are online and to those who are here. We're here today to worship God our Father, the God who has done everything to show us how much he cares, the one who gave his only Son so that we may have a restored relationship with him forever. Holy Spirit, unfold the word to us as we continue looking at Job. In Isaiah 43:2, your word states that when we pass through the waters, you will be with us. When we pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over us. When we walk through the fire, we will not be burned. The flames will not set us ablaze. Father, we go through the swirling waters, the rising rivers, and what can seem like the unending fires. We are reminded to keep our eyes, our focus, and our hope on you. In Romans 5:5, it says, such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. While we were still helpless, powerless to provide our salvation, at the right time, Christ died as a substitute for the ungodly. Let us rejoice knowing how great and awesome is our God, that he is faithful, loving, and true. He is the Lord God of Israel, who is eternal.
Hallelujah.
For you are exalted over all. We are here to worship you, God. We offer you our thanks and we praise you, and we continue to praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We come to glorify you, God, because you are truly blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Let's Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Beautiful. No matter what we're going through, we bless your name. We bless your name.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us to bless
yes.
your name.
Amen.
Because sometimes, Lord, we know that the things, our position, where we are, that's all we can see.
Mm.
Let us not blame. Let us bless you, Lord. Amen. Because you give and take away.
Yes.
You give and take away. And you're still a good father. You are still blessed. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Help us, Lord, We want to praise your name.
Yes.
Because you are blessed.
Yes.
You are holy.
Yes.
You are holy. We bless you. We bless you. You are such a good Father.
Yes.
You are so great.
Yes. Bless your holy name,
we bless your name.
Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never fail, oh God. True are your promises. Great is your faithfulness,
Lord.
Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never fail, oh God.
So true.
True are your promises.
True.
True are your promises.
Fail.
You never fail, oh God.
So we raise,
up holy hands to praise the Holy One,
who was, and is
to come.
We raise,
wide is your love and grace,
Lord, wide.
Wide is your love and grace.
You
never change. You never fail, oh God.
So
wide is your love and grace.
Wider.
Wide is your love and grace. You never fail, oh God.
So we raise
our holy hands
to praise
the Holy One,
who was
and is to come.
Your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness.
Great
is your faithfulness.
You never
change.
You never fail.
You never fail, oh God.
The promises are true, Lord.
So true are your promises.
You never fail,
oh God.
What is His love and grace?
So we
raise up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Was and is to come. We raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One. For great is your faithfulness, Lord God. You never fail. You never change. You are steadfast throughout the ages, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise the Holy One. For you alone are worthy, Lord God. You alone are worthy. Why do we look to anywhere else but you, Lord God? Because you are the Creator. You never let us down. You never have and you never will. So God, we look to you. We look to you. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. You know just what to do, and I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield, and I will love you, Lord, my rock forever.
Good morning, everyone. Let me just finish singing about the greatness of God. God reigns. But Psalm 96, verse 8, reminds us of another way to worship. It says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. As we bring our offering and tithes, we are actively giving God the glory he deserves. We are showing our gratitude for all that he has done. So let's continue to worship him by bringing your offerings to this container. And for the ones worshiping online, please follow the instructions. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Trouble anywhere.
We should never be
discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who
give thanks. Heavenly Father, you're worthy of all praise. Lord, we thank you for that we are able to be present in your court today, to give you thanks and to ascribe to your name the glory you deserve. Lord, we pray that you bless these offerings and increase it to be used for your glory. Father, bless the hands of the givers as we give with a cheerful heart. Father, as we continue to worship, we ask for your presence and your guidance in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
HGB Church, the warmest of welcomes to each and every one of you. And thank you for choosing to worship with us today. Here at HGB Church, we're a kingdom advancing church, not just for Sunday mornings, but throughout every day, every week. Father's Day Community Barbecue, Sunday the 21st of June, 1:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. You are invited to our Father's Day service, followed by our community barbecue. Join us for a day of celebrating Kingdom Men, a barbecue, fellowship and games for all the family to enjoy. Father's Day Community Barbecue, Sunday the 21st of June, 1:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. God is raising leaders for His kingdom. Join HGB Church as we celebrate God's calling upon Richard Leach as he is ordained and commissioned to serve as assistant pastor. As a kingdom advancing church, we thank God for raising leaders who will help transform lives, impact communities, and empower generations for eternity. Join us on Sunday, the 12th of July, 10:30 a.m. Come and celebrate what God is doing among us. Mission Bulgaria is running from the 21st to the 31st of August, 2026. To book your place, please make sure you have completed and returned the booking form to the church office as soon as possible.
We thank you, God. We thank you, God. And we give thanks to you now and praise to you. You have lavished us with love, delighting us with our children. We pray for each one now as they go to their time of hearing about you. God, who is and what he has done. Holy Spirit, guide the teaching and the sharing of Jesus, your word, through all that has been prepared and will be spoken. Speak through those who have prepared and shared the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. A time now for the children to be going out to hear God's word. Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust,
and I will trust in you alone.
I will trust,
I will trust in you alone.
For your endless mercy,
for your endless mercy, for your goodness will lead me home.
He guides my ways in righteousness,
and he anoints
will lead me home.
Trust in you, Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. So I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Submission.
salvation. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. So I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will
together. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We are still here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just turn to the person next to you and welcome them to church. It's good to see you. That's right. It's good to see you all here today. Welcome, welcome. Amen. Welcome, welcome, Mom. Welcome, welcome. Good to see you. Very welcome. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much all for coming today. Welcome to Nash. Nash is in the house today. Amen. Amen. Welcome, my brother and your family. Welcome. That's good. Nasha was just, he just finished for 13 days. He's been doing nothing but read the Bible. So he's finished the Bible in 13 days. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? We celebrate you, Nasha. I thought I'd better brag about that today. Is that all right? Yeah. Amen. I've never done it in 13 days. I'm sure you got nothing to do and just spend the whole time. I was asking him, how many hours were you reading? Nasha, how many hours were you reading, Pam? 5 hours a day. Go out, come back, read. So it's doable, Sister Val. We got this. Amen, amen, amen. You know, what we're talking about today, when you are going through something, there are always voices that come your way. There are always voices that come near you. And before I start, let me just acknowledge Helena. Helena lost her dad. We all know Helena's dad. Yes. Arthur is a man that is known in this house. Yes. I'm going to ask us to just stand in memory of Arthur. Yes. If we are able to, just for 1 minute, and just, you know, we remember Arthur. He served faithfully here. Yes. He is a man. He was either Green Baptist Church, Arthur. Wherever I went, people would say to me, oh, you're from that tall man. He was tall, and Helena is representing very well. And he spoke to everyone, Arthur, and we thank God, Arthur. We thank God for his life, and we thank God for all the service that he did here. He served faithfully. He was here. He was living in pains, but every up and down coming. And we want to acknowledge and just say thank you, God, for how Arthur served in this church. And also to remember Esme and Helena and Joanna, let's remember them and bring them before God. Shall we just take a moment of silence to acknowledge a man of God who stood faithfully here? Amen. Father, we thank you for all that Arthur stood for. Thank you for his love for you. And thank you for his faithful service to you. He loved you. And I know that sometimes Helena would be competing and, you know, with how much God, Arthur loved God. And there was this dynamics that was going on. We thank you for his testimony, God. I thank you for his life. And Lord, I pray that you bless Helena and bless Esme. We remember them in this difficult time. And Joanna, we lift them up to you. And John, the brother, we lift them up to you, Father. We ask, Spirit of God, Lord, would you remember them at this time? May they give thanks for the life of Arthur. He didn't allow anything to stop. He continued. We were with him in the park service. Some of you were not Lord for his faithfulness. And Lord, we pray as the family spend time to prepare for the funeral, Lord, may they put together a service that's honoring to you, that's befitting of a man who gave everything for you, Father. And so we bless the family in Jesus' name. And bless us too as well as we remember Arthur. We pray, may we, Father, value what he valued, all those things that you stood for. We pray, bring them to memory in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give thanks to God for Arthur's life. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Helena, we love you, and you are among family, and you are not alone. Please don't stay in that flat. And you know, come and be among family. You did well today coming out. Thank you so much. God bless you. When we are going through the fire, anyone, we all go through fires, don't we? Yeah. Some of us may be in the fire right now. Some of us may be preparing to get into the fire. When we are in those fires, there are always voices that come. There are experts that come. All of a sudden, everyone become an expert. Everyone has something to say, to contribute, to say to you in that fire. They always come with, oh, have you tried this? Oh, have you this? Oh, this, or this, or that, or that. And some of it is good. But what we are talking about today is a question of discernment. Not every voice that come when you are in the fire with a Bible in its hand is from God. With a scripture in its hand, not every voice that come your way. They may actually have all the scriptures and everything that you need to hear. And it may sound like it is actually biblical input. I'm here to say that not every word that enters, or not every voice that enters your fire with a Bible in its hand, is a voice from God, is a word from God. And so it's a question of discernment. The people of God needs to have discernment. You have to discern, is this what God is saying, or is this what people are saying? And sometimes people, they don't understand what you're going through. Remember, we say that God is very much aware what Job is going through. God is not removed from what Job is going through. God is in it. And God has actually allowed, there's this courtroom in heaven that has taken place, which Job did not see. And the friends did not see. And God says, I authorize, go. And as he went, he started, you know, chaos started to just break forth. And so these I call them the miserable comforters. They will come and they will try and talk you out or to reason why you are going through what you're going through, and how maybe you need to try harder, or how you need to try this. There are some things, there are some fires that have been ordained by God. And no matter what we do, we have to allow those fires. We have to walk through them. Amen. And so it's a matter of discernment. We have to discern, what is God saying to me right now? God, what are you saying today? So let me tell you about the moment help arrived. Remember, we talked about this last week. We said the three friends, they started to arrive. Job lost everything. He lost his children. And he's mourning. He's going through difficult time. 10 children buried in one single day, single afternoon. He's feeling it. And his wealth is gone. His body is covered in sores. And his wife, and I say, don't judge the wife. And she said, curse God and die. But here's a woman who has gone through it. And she's been real. She's suffering from losing her 10 children. I never understood about losing children until my brother lost his 3 children at the age of 3, one after the other. Never understood it until I had my own children. All of a sudden, I started to put myself in that position. What must have it been like for my brother to lose his own child? Not one. My brother lost his mom in 1 month. He lost his mom. He lost his wife out of shock. And he lost a child in 1 month. It doesn't make sense. How do you keep going from that? And this is what's happening here in Job. And so we see that Job is standing there and he's alone in the wreckage. He's standing in the ashes and he feels so alone. And in the horizon, 3 figures begin to appear. And this is Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, his friends, his peers, men of standing, men of faith, men who had what had happened and made a decision. They made an appointment and they say that together, let's come, let's go and stand with our brother. Let's stand with our friend. They didn't send a message. You know, there's some people who send you a message. Oh, sorry, we had. They said, no, we are going. They showed up when they were needed. They traveled. They came to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they arrive and they see him, they barely recognize the guy. They couldn't understand what the suffering has changed him so completely. They have to look twice to identify him, to know that it is their friend. And here's what they did. They sit down with him on the ground, not on chairs, not on a respectful distance, not. They sat with the guy in the ashes. And for 7 days and 7 nights, nobody said a word. Because the grief was too large for any language, for a language. They couldn't articulate anything. They just sat with the guy. And that is the last right thing they did. They came, they sat with the guy. Sometimes All you need when you are in the fire, you don't need people who come jabba, 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 jabba. You just need people who come and sit with you and not say anything. I remember one of my friends giving me counsel. He said he was going through a difficult time, and there I was trying to fix things up. You know, some people are fixers of things. And he says, all I need from you is for you to just be here with me. I don't need you to say anything. I don't need you to make sense of what I'm going through. All I need right now is for you to just be here and stand with me. And so these guys, they did the right thing to start with. The last right thing they did was they just sat and shut up. They sat, they zipped their mouth. They didn't try to reason it. They didn't try to understand. They didn't try to say, oh, maybe God, this, oh, let's just pray harder. Come on, let's just do this. They just sat with the guy in the ash. And then, because at the beginning of chapter 4 now, you see Eliphaz opens his mouth. And for the next 35 chapters, these three men, they are going after, you know, they're just speaking. They're speaking, and every word, for all its theological confidence, for all its scriptural language, is wrong. They are saying what is not right. They did well in keeping quiet and just being with the guy. They actually ministered to the guy more by being quiet. For 35 chapters, they're beginning to speak, and they're saying it, and they're saying wrong things. And God says it is wrong what they're doing. It's not me. God said it is wrong what they're saying. And I believe someone in this room is in a fire right now, and there's a voice speaking into your life. There's a voice that's seeking to speak into your life, a confident voice, a voice that's so sincere. When you hear it, it ticks the boxes, and you say, well, this must be a voice from God. It's confident voice, a voice that uses real scriptures and sound like it knows what it's talking about. It sounds like it has experienced what you're going through. And many times it hasn't been where you've been. It hasn't experienced what you have experienced. Today I need to show you what God thinks of that voice, what God says about that voice. I want you to turn with me to Job chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 11. Let's take it up from verse 11. Job chapter 2, verse 11. And this is what it says, Job chapter 2. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon Job, each one came from his own place. Everyone, they are moved. They came from their own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Nematite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with Job and to comfort Job. And when they raised their eyes from far off and did not recognize Job, they lifted their voices and wept. They cried. They are moved. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. So they sat down with him, with Job, on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to Job. For they saw that his grief was very great. His grief was enormous. I want you to see what is right about these men before I show you what goes wrong. What goes wrong? They had, they came, they showed up, they wept, they tore their own robes. They sat on the ground in the ashes with Job, with their friend. And they held their sincere for a full week because they understood that grief in that space, it was larger than any sentence could construct, any sentence anybody could ever say. That is chapter 2, and that is the friends at their best. They did their best. They showed up. They kept quiet. They sat with him in the ashes without a word being said. Chapter 4 is when Eliphaz opens his mouth and everything unravels. Sincere. He's sincere, he's confident, theologically certain, he's very sure, hey, what you're going through is this and this, or what you're going through may be this and maybe this. If you try this, if you do this, they're sincere, they're confident, they're theologically certain, but they're also catastrophically wrong about God. And what's happening is, I want you to turn with me to chapter 16, Here's point number one. Point number one, the voice that sounds right but speaks wrongly. There are voices that come our way. They sound right, but they are actually saying the wrong things. They are misrepresenting God. Because if I only tell you they got it where they got it wrong, you won't recognize it when you hear it in your own life. I want you to begin to hear, to analyze, to see in your own life when someone comes, not every word, no matter how attached it is to Scripture, no matter how theologically sound it may sound, not every word that comes to your life when you are in the fire is from God. Amen. Thank you for that one. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. And that's it. And so point number one, they came. So the friends operated on one central premise. And this is what they say. And hear this carefully, because it sounds biblically correct when you hear it. It sounds like sound theology. It sounds like it is right. And what they say is suffering is always a direct consequence of sin. You have heard it. You have said it. You're going through what you're going through, maybe because you have sinned. Maybe there is sin in your life. Maybe you are experiencing this fire because fire equals sin. You have heard it. If you are blessed, you are righteous. If you are suffering, you have sinned. It's quiet now, right? The equation is clear. The logic is tight here. What's going on? Eliphaz says it first. Greatly, carefully, as a man delivering difficult pastoral wisdom. And I want you to listen to this. This is what it says in chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright ever cut off? Even as I have seen those who plow iniquity, sow trouble, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, they reap the same. Translation for somebody, Job is saying, innocent people don't go through what you're going through, Job. He's saying, if you are in the fire, begin to look inward, Job. There must be something that you are doing, Job. Begin to assess yourself. Repent, Job, and God will restore you. Bildad is less gentle. This is Zophar. This is Eliphaz. And now Bildad is less gentle. Here's what he says in Job chapter 8, verse 3 to 4. He says, does God prevent justice? Or does the Almighty pervert what is right? If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgression. In other words, your children died because they have sinned. That's what he's saying. Stop questioning God. Start examining yourself. Look into your own life. See what's going on. Perhaps what your children have gone through is because they have been sinned. Remember, they love to party, Job's children. And so the friends are now coming and they're saying, hey, maybe actually stop questioning God. This may be because they have sinned. Oh, but Zophar is the bluntest of all in chapter 11, verse 3 to 15, and this is what he says. If you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands towards him, if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away, then surely you could lift up your face without spot. Translation again, if your face is still in the dirt, the problem is in you. Sort yourself out. Fix yourself and God will lift you up. Sort yourself out and God will be able to lift you up. Repent is what he's saying here. Now I want you to hear me. None of that sounds obviously wicked. It sounds like it's right. It sounds like it's actually in line with what the Bible talks about. It doesn't sound wicked at all. Every sentence is constructed from biblical language. They're using biblical language here. Every argument contains a thread of truth pulled out of context that it becomes a lie. And so when people come to you, sometimes it's dressed in care, sometimes it's dressed with scripture. And I'm saying today it's a question of discernment. You have to discern. Whatever people say to you, especially when you are in the fire, you need to be able to discern what is the word that God is saying. rather than just absorb everything. Oh, they gave me a verse. Look at the verse they've given me. It must be from God. It must be this. God must be saying this. There are a lot of people in the body of Christ who are carrying scars, who have been affected, who have been pushed far from God by well-meaning Christians because of what they say in the name of God. There are a lot of preachers who have preached from the pulpit and say to people, you are going through what you're going through because of A, B, C, D. And Job tells us, the whole book of Job is challenging us how we deal and how we view suffering. And this is what's going on here. So every argument here is a lie that they are saying. And this is not a theology invented by these three ancient characters in long forgotten book. This is a theology that is being spoken today. You are hearing it in your life every day. People come, they tell you things, and they say you're going through what you're going through. If only you could do more, if only you could do this, if only you could pray more, if only you could just surrender more, then God is going to be able to bless you. In other words, what you're going through is because you're not doing more. You're not doing this thing. You need to do this. You need to do that. I'm here to tell you that's not the kingdom talk. We don't have to do anything. And you need to hear that with a sober mind. If you don't hear it with a sober mind, you're not going to hear me. Sometimes the fires we go through, they are actually God ordained. He has allowed them to come our way. And so you can spend a whole life and you'll be asking, why did I go through this? Why have I, I've got this sickness that's on me, that's continuous. I prayed for God to heal me, and nothing has happened. And others come, and they'll say, let's pray. I know this one who prays more. You don't need to go to this one who prays more. You can go wherever you want. Unless God says, some things you have to allow God to do what he wants to do and for his glory to be given. Amen. We don't like it. I don't like it. But sometimes we have to say, you are God and you are all-knowing. You know what is best. You know tomorrow. I don't see tomorrow. But because you are God. And God, I don't like what's going on, but I choose to look to you, God. It doesn't make sense, God, but I choose to fix my eyes on you, God, because you are sovereign, God. You must have allowed it for it to come my way, God, because you are all-knowing and you see all things. And you know that I am able to go through it. And so, God, I'm going to look at you. And this is what Job says, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, somebody. These friends, they come and they are, we have this thing that is being talked about. And I say this thing sounds... today it sounds like if you just had more faith, you would be healed. Anybody ever heard what I'm talking about? Yeah, if you just have more faith, you're going to be healed. God won't bless a life with unconfessed sin in it. And so you're going through what you're going through because there is unconfessed sin. That's why you're going through what you're going through. And that's what they say. Another one, you're still in this season because you haven't fully surrendered your life to God. And that's why you're still having these neck problems. That's why you're still having these back problems. That's why you're still going through the pain of walking. And that's why you're still maybe walking with a crutch because of this. We've heard it being said, and that's all wrong. And somebody would say, maybe God is teaching you something you are refusing to let go. You are refusing to learn. And so that's why you are going through this suffering. We have heard it. We have said it to others. We have gone to others as miserable comforters, trying to reason what's going on without understanding what has happened in the courtroom of heaven. We have gone and tried to advise people without taking the time and asking God and say, God, whatever is going on with my brother, my sister, what is going on, God? Give me a word for my brother. Give me a word for my sister. I don't want to tell them what I think. I want to tell them what you are saying, God. And very often we are quick. We don't stop to ask God, what is it that you're doing in Sister Nkem's life? What is it that you want Sister Nkem to get out of this? What is it that you want me to speak into her life? No, we say you are going through this because this. We are now reasoning our own theology, our own understanding, and misrepresent God, even though we say it in the name of God. There are lots of aspects. When you are in your fire, there are many voices that come that seek to speak. Many of those, if not 99.99999, it's what we want to say to people rather than what he wants to say to people. Amen. So somebody in this room, you have heard one of those sentences spoken with care, and they've been spoken with a Bible verse attached to it, spoken by someone genuinely who genuinely thought they were actually helping. And I want you to understand this. Those miserable comforters, as Job calls them, not me, when they come to you, they are coming genuinely trying to help. They are genuinely, or when you go to somebody else, you're genuinely trying to help them, isn't it? You're genuinely wanting to help them. Imagine a man who goes to the doctor with severe chest pains, and the doctor examines the man and says confidently, that is stress. The man is saying, I've got these chest pains, you know, I'm just going through this. And you say, the doctor says, well, you know, this is stress. Relax more, you know, change your diet. And the man follows the advice, the pain continues, and he returns to the doctor. The doctor says, you are not trying hard enough. Go home and try more harder, you know. Go home and do more, you know. Walk more and do this. By the someone runs the right test and finds the blocked artery, weeks have been lost. The doctor was not malicious, but actually he was wrong, or she was wrong. You know, the doctor was wrong, and his confident wrongness was more dangerous than the silence that he had actually just kept silent. If the doctor tells you something that is not right, you know, and just say, oh, just go do this, it's better they didn't tell you. And so the patient, you know, could have actually sorted that problem well in advance. The friends are the doctor here. They are the doctor. Their diagnosis sounds professional. It is delivered with authority, but it is very wrong. Their diagnosis is very wrong, and it is sending Job further from the help that he needs. There are people who come, and when they tell you their diagnosis of what's going on in your life, rather than bring you closer to God, it can send you further and further and further away from God. It can send you further and further away from God. And this is what's going on, and it is sending Job further from the help he actually needs. Job Parker was one of the great Victorian era preachers ministering at the City Temple in London for decades, you know, and he was there. When his wife Joy died, he was devastated. The man was finished. And the responses he received from fellow churchmen shook him, you know, profoundly. He didn't understand it. Someone told him that the man of faith and theological standing shouldn't be seen grieving the way you grieve. And they said, you're an embarrassment to the gospel that you preach. Because here you are, a man of God, and you are grieving the way you are grieving, and that is not the way to do it. That his grief, you know, his visible suffering was an embarrassment to the gospel that he preached. But Parker later, he wrote with withering clarity about the language or the damage done by Christians. The Christians are, well, I better be careful. I'm surrounded by many Christians here. The Christians, they use theological, you know, theology as a deflection. And that's why sometimes we have this tag that we are hypocrites. We pretend, we act, we put on masks. And Parker was saying that he was being forced to deny his human pain, what he was going through. We live in a society also where we stiff up a lip, where you don't have to show what's going on. Unfortunately, that also is filtered into the church. We don't show what we are going through. We don't express what is happening. When you express what is going on, it's seen as weakness. It's seen as God is not with you. It's seen as, oh, well, you're overwhelmed by stuff. Yes, I am overwhelmed by what is going on. And Parker said that the church's greatest temptation is to explain suffering rather than inhabit it. You know, the friends explained, Job inhabited, and God vindicated Job. And bad theology is most dangerous when it arrives, you know, wearing the face of pastoral care. It is very dangerous when you come to me, when you come to the brother next to you or sister next to you, in the name of God, and you speak what you think of the situation. Very dangerous. Because what will happen is you will tell me you need to pray more. Maybe I'm praying more already. And you pray more and pray more and pray more. Do this and do that. Or maybe what you're going through is because of sin. Huh? And rather than bring me closer to God, it pushes me away from God. And Parker struggled. Here's point number two. At some point, Job had enough of these friends. Yes, they came, but this time they're struggling. Job is struggling. He's saying, I've had enough with them, with this lot. And so he has been pushed. He has been told by three respected men using real theological language and that the ash he's sitting in is his own fault. You're going through what you're going through, Job, because it's your fault. We have seen people and we have concluded. We have heard people suffering and we have concluded. I see this, therefore this. I see this, therefore this. This equals to this. God help us to just sometimes not say a word. Lord, help me to just keep quiet. I don't understand why my sister is in a wheelchair. I don't understand why my brother is walking in crutch. We prayed for this person. I don't understand why my son is having to go through what he's going through. I don't understand it. But Lord, we're going to look to you. Help me to keep quiet and not try to make sense of it or to theologize it from my own perspective. But help me, God, to only speak if I'm hearing from you. If I have heard from you, help me speak from that perspective. That's the challenge that God is giving me. That when I see you in your fire, I should not quickly just say what I think, but I should say, God, what are you saying about this situation? What is it that you want to do? I should take time to listen. I should take time to be with you in the ash, to walk with you without saying a word. Now, that's the most difficult thing, isn't it? Because we've got so many words to use. We've got so much words. Especially our sisters have got so many words to use in a day. And so they'll be quick to fix the situation. And in so doing, we can be 100% wrong and misrepresent God. And as you see, if you read the book of Job, you see at the end, God comes heavy on those people, on those friends, and says, you actually were misrepresenting me. How many of us will stand before God and God says to us, you misrepresented me? If only I shut up. If only I kept my mouth shut. Shall we keep going a little bit? And so in chapter 16, he stopped being diplomatic, Job. And then he come to them and he says, then Job answered and said, I've heard many such things. I mean, he's not saying it like I'm saying it now. He's really ticked off with them. I've heard so many things, of so many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. These are the people that have come to visit you. I remember my mom when she was nearing the end of her life. She was not well and she was in hospital. She became unpastoral. You know, sometimes we sift our words. People come, you know what to say and you know how to say it. You want to say it, but you don't say it, and you say things. She would just say it as it is. And she was just direct. And this is where Job is. He's saying, you miserable comforters. Some of your friends, you need to tell them, miserable comforters. Now, right now, you can even think of your miserable comforter friends who come and try and speak into your life and make sense of your situation. This is what's going on. Let's read God's word. Then Job answered and said, I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the solace of my lips would relieve your grief. I know it's difficult to understand. I've had to read it a few times and say, hey, what's going on? I understand. If you've missed me there, I'm with you. I just understand I am with you. I struggled as well. Miserable comforters are you all. Five words that Job, that stood out for 35 centuries, you know, five words. And Job is not frustrated. He's actually, this is a precise diagnosis he's giving. He's diagnosing what's going on, and he's saying, and he's giving this diagnosis, and he's saying, let me help you understand. This is what's going on. Number one, when he says that I have heard many such things, he's saying, I know, he knows the framework. He's probably taught it himself. He's probably said it himself. I probably taught it myself. I probably said it to somebody else as well. So I'm preaching to myself as well. So you're not alone if you are feeling the pinch. You know, and what Job is saying, this framework is not new. You know, suffering equals sin. Repent and be restored. He says that's not new. And that is not a fringe theology. That is the mainstream religious thinking. Many of us actually will be found in this. The problem is that it's not that the framework exists. The problem is that it does not fit what actually is happening in the fire. And the friends refuse to see it. It does not fit with what God is actually saying in the courtroom. Remember I took you to the courtroom, what was going on. Job was completely unaware of what is going on in heaven. And the friends, they are unaware of what is going on. And there they come and they are saying, suffering equals sin. And Job is saying, I've had it before. Job doesn't know that his suffering, it has been discussed in heaven. He has no idea at all. Here's number two. He says, shall words of wind have an end? Words of wind, volume without weight, confidence without content. And a large vocabulary of religious language has never been the same as same thing as an accurate word from God himself. And so this is what he's saying here. And number three, he says, I also could speak as you do. And he's saying, I also could speak as you do if your soul were in my place. And Job is saying, if our positions were reversed, if you were in my shoes, if I were standing where you're standing, comfortable, untouched, you know, I'm not touched by that fire, and I'm looking on into your life, I'm seeing in, I could produce exactly the same theology, is what Job is saying here. Because this theology is easy to hold when it is not on your body or, you know, in the ash. When your body is not in the ash. When you're okay, it's easy for you to come and say, well, you know, the Lord bless you. The Lord, you know, and yeah, the Lord bless you. Or to say, oh, maybe there's sin that's going on. Or maybe this and this. We try to reason out. And that's what I'm trying to root out today. To say, let's not try to come up with our own understanding of suffering. We don't understand it. We don't like it. Easy theology is always available to people who are not in the fire. It's easy for you to say what you need to say. And let me define this term that he used, because miserable comforter is not just about torn. A miserable comforter is someone who comes into your life carrying a theological explanation that was never meant for you to carry. And they'll come and they will release it on you, this theological explanation. And they start to explain things, even dreams. They'll come and they'll tell you, and they'll say, well, you know, this dream, you know, without taking the time to say, what is God saying through this? And so everything becomes technical, because here, I told this person or I was told this, we start to put it on everyone that comes. It becomes technical like that. And so they carry this and they dump it on you and deposit it in your hands as though it will help you, while it actually was going to pull you away from the God they claim to represent. A miserable comforter is someone who is more invested in defending their theological or their framework than in actually hearing the person in front of them. Rather than take time to say, how are you going? What is it like going through what you're going through? They come with many words. They come and do all the talking. And they don't take time to listen to the person who's going through it. I'm just coming to sit. I've the privilege of sometimes sitting with people in hospital, and I've learned. And sometimes you have people who are on their deathbed, and you don't say anything. You just sit there and you're just quiet listening. And through that, I've learned to just be with people, and sometimes and just they'll teach you. They'll force you. If they're awake, you want to say something. Hey, how is it? Yeah. How's the weather? Yeah. And we start to, you get into actually speaking things that are you're not supposed to say to those people. We misrepresent God. A miserable comforter. A miserable comforter is someone also who needs you to recover on their timetable. They can't stand what you're going through and they want you to be better. And so they want to accelerate what you're going through because your unresolved suffering is making them uncomfortable, and the pressure they apply, and they apply this pressure to hurry your healing. It's not really about you. It's about them. C.S. Lewis, again, lost his, his wife, Joy, as I said, to cancer. And he kept this journal where he was just journaling his grief, just going through. And then eventually he released this book is called Grief Observed, and he writes about particular kind of well-meaning Christians, who come and they respond to grief and the way they respond to grief and what he called a brisk, cheerful attitude. They expect you to just be okay, be good, You're supposed to be hallelujah kind of thing. You're supposed to be happy all the time. And we have done it where people come, and see someone who's going through. We expect them to say, just cheer up, pretend that everything is okay. And this is what he was saying. And he says, people who had never lost what he lost were telling him with great confidence, how grief was supposed to work. They've never gone through what he's going through. And there they were, they were trying to advise to him and how long it was supposed to last and how, what was going to happen and what he was supposed to produce spiritually. This grief, what it was supposed to. And what he found was that these responses, however well-intentioned and well-meaning they may have been, they increased the sense of isolation. Isolation. I remember, one of my young person, one of my boys, he said, I'm not going to church because of miserable comforters. And so rather than bring people to encourage people and draw people to God, it actually began to push him. We were talking just now as we were coming in the car. And he says to me, well, I said to him, I'm preaching about miserable comforters. I did say that. That's the sermon title. And so we were talking, he had said to me, how many people are going to be... I'm not saying don't talk to him. You can talk to him. please talk to him. By the all means, we want the guy to talk to me, but talk to him. But we were talking about this and say, sometimes we don't know how to respond to situations. It doesn't mean that we are horrible. And I was saying to him the other time, when people ask, they genuinely are interested to know. They want to support you. We may not know how to package things, but we genuinely want to stand with the guy, and we stand with the guy. Amen. When we talk about miserable, not here, we don't have miserable comforters here. Just for, but Lewis, you know, C.S. Lewis, he stayed honest. You know, he was honest with God through all of his grief. He didn't pretend. He didn't pretend that he was actually liking what was going through. He didn't feel like he has to pretend. I love a church where you can come in and you may be in the dumps. You can come in and share, I'm struggling. I'm finding things difficult. And it's okay. It's okay to come here and you can pour your face down and you can cry to God. It's okay. Where we are real with God. Many of us here, we can't be real because of miserable comforters. They'll tell us all sorts of things. They'll say, did you see so and so and so, so and so and so and so? We start to make it difficult. Instead of bringing people closer to God so they can open up and be real with God, people start to shut down and they go through suffering on their own. And that's not of God. And what C.S. Lewis said, and he found eventually, not an explanation, but he says a presence. When he was expressing and being honest with God, he says, I found a presence, the God who understands suffering. The God who saw us, and he came and joined in our ashes, involved himself, made himself sin for our salvation. And the locked door that opens again when you stop performing your way around the grief, and it brings you directly to God. It brings you to the presence of God when you are real. And church, I want to give you the freedom here. When you come here, don't pretend. Don't suffer alone. I love one time, I want to talk about Helen. I didn't tell her about this. Helena would come one time and she sat right that side. You've always been sitting that side. It's okay, Helena, I'm going to leave through that door. Or you go through that door. And Helena would come there, and sometimes she was going through a difficult time. And she sat down looking that way. And she would cover her head. And I remember saying, God, thank you for that lady. You know, but the miserable comforters, they were looking and saying, that's weird, isn't it? That's weird. This is the place for us to come and be so real and be so undone and come and say, God, I'm here. Regardless of what's going on, God, I'm still here. She could have done it in a duvet. She could have stayed at home with her. I mean, cats, I don't know. I mean, last time I checked, there were about 6 of them. That's another big ceremony we have there. And she could have done it at home. But she was here. And she was being the most realest, if it's a word, the most realest person in the whole room. Because she was not hiding anything. And she was saying, this is where I am. God, this is where I am. Take it, God. And guess what? God is not at all. He doesn't look down and say, hey, what are you doing? How dare you do that thing? I don't expect. No. He says, actually, you're the most, I said, if it's a word, don't go home and say, Pastor, sing this word. You are the most realest person. You are the most real person. When we come before God and ourselves. When we come before God and we are ourselves. Let me speak to two groups of people in this room. These people, they always finish early, isn't it? I think somebody sent them a text, come now, we want to go home. Two groups. Let me speak to two groups of people in this room. There are people who are in the fire today, and you have a miserable comforter in your life who's speaking to you. And you're allowed to name it. Naming it is not bitterness. I want to say to you, naming what you are feeling, what you're going through. God, I don't like what's happening. God, I don't understand what's happening. It's not at all bitterness when you name it. Just read through the Psalms. You see how the psalmists are, are real with God more than we are real with God. So naming it is not rebellion. Job named it. And at the end of the book of Job, you know, God confirmed it, confirmed his discernment. And God said, he's a righteous man because he's real with me. You do not have to receive every confident, scripture-loaded word spoken over your suffering as a word from God. Hear me. Not every scripture, not every word that is said to you is a word from God. Scripture is a word from God. But the spirit that may be operating behind that verse might be not be from God. Amen. Amen. And so the test is this. Does it bring me closer to God? When someone comes to speak into your life, ask yourself, does this bring me closer to God or send me further away from God? Amen. And so those are the questions that we have. Or does it bring shame? Does it shame me into silence where I want to hide and I want to be away from everyone? As we have to, number two. And secondly, to those who recognize themselves in Eliphaz today, and this is not condemnation, as I say that, I probably taught it, and you may actually also have taught it, and you may have said it to other people, these men are not wicked. These friends, they are not wicked. They were sincere people who loved their framework. They loved their framework more than they heard about their friend. They loved the framework more than their friend. And they were more concerned about how you look as a believer or as a Christian, how you're supposed to look, more than how you are going through or what you are going through and how you are feeling in those situations. So the corrective is not guilt. It is presence before prescription. So presence before prescription. When you see someone, presence before prescription. Presence before prescription. Be with the person. Walk with the person. Sit with the person in the ash. And then if you want to say, let's pray. I'm not saying don't pray. We pray with them. Let's bring God into this. And in our prayer, we are not counseling people. And I listen to some prayers, you know, and I'm like, that's definitely not of God prayer. Because that's loaded with your own hang up that you have into the situation. And now you're speaking into that situation in the name of prayer. And it's not prayer. Well, it may be prayer, but it's not prayer from God. It's prayer from your own sort of, hang up that you may have. If it's prayer from God, we need to be able to understand there are things that we don't understand. And there's suffering that we don't understand. Amen. And Job chapter 2 shows us exactly what right looks like. 7 days on the ground, no talking, just sitting on the ground. They're just there, just being with Job. Sometimes the most theological accurate thing you can do, you know, for a person who is in the fire, as I said, is for you to zip your mouth. Yeah, Risa said it. To what, Risa? Shout your mouth and stay and be there. Amen. Here's point number three, because some people can't shut their mouth and they'd rather remove themselves quickly and say, I'm just not going to stay because I'm going to say something. Maybe that's the wise thing to do, but just shut your mouth and walk with people. Be with people without having the need to say something. People say, I can't visit because I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. All you have to do is just be there. And Lord, I'm here. I'm here with you. Amen, somebody. Here's my last point. Point number three is hang in there with me. God's verdict and what it means that he kept account. Here's point number three. I want you to take you to the end of the book because this is where the entire sermon lands. After 35 chapters, after the agony, after the speeches, and after then the divine encounter, the book reaches its resolution. And Job is restored. And then God speaks. I love it. God speaks after how many chapters? 35 chapters. There's silence. There's these guys trying to talk. God then says something. But I want you to notice very carefully who he addresses first here. It's very important. Not Job. He addresses the friends. Look at chapter 42, verse 7. And it says this, and so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Three things I need you to see from there. None of them are small. Number one, God was listening to every word these friends were saying. God was listening. Every chapter, every speech, every confident theological argument, God had it. He had it, and he did not pass over it. He did not file it in under good intention and say, oh, maybe this person had good intention. They said it wrongly, but actually the intention. No, no, no. He sat in that conversation for 35 chapters, and he kept account of it. And at the end, he named it Kingdom Church, Kingdom Family. Whatever has been spoken over your fire, God has had it. Every single word, God has had it too. He kept it. He kept account of it. And he will address it in due course. And number two, God's standard for speech about him is truth, not sincerity. You have not spoken of me, the Bible says, what is right. Not wrong, not wrong tone, not too harsh in delivery. The indictment here is content. And they say that wrong things. And they say them, these wrong things about who God is. Remember, when you look at actually what they didn't say anything wrong to God. But they didn't understand, and this is where you need to hear me. They didn't understand that there was a courtroom that had taken place in heaven. And all of this, God was very much aware, and God's eyes was on Job, and God's presence was with Job, even though he's going through the suffering. And so here, God is saying, you didn't represent me well. You didn't speak well of me. I was doing one thing, and you were saying something that is opposing what I was saying. And that's why I'm saying it's very dangerous for us to speak into situations without understanding what God is saying. Trying to understand maybe somebody's suffering without first checking with God. So they built a God who operates on clean, predictable, mechanistic, reward, punishment system where you have to be right. Righteous means that you don't go through suffering. Suffering means you have sinned. And this is what they have built. And the God of Scripture is not predictable in this way. The God of Scripture is not, is not created like that. He's not at all like that. He sometimes allows his children to go through suffering for his name's sake. For his glory. Amen, somebody. The friends were not describing God. They were describing a God they had invented to make suffering make sense. They were trying to reason out this suffering. And God rejected that construction in one sentence. And number three, I'm just quickly going here because I don't want to lose. I've lost a couple of people already. God calls Job righteous. I want you to see in the end. God calls Job righteous. And my servant Job has. That is the verdict. That is the verdict. That over the man who cursed the day he was born. Remember Job said, cursed is the day of his, I was born. Over the man who cried from the ash, with 26 verses of raw anguish expressing himself, being real with God. And God says, he spoke of me what is right. I need you to reflect on that. He is a man who is being real. To use my friend Helena's illustration I gave. He is somebody who is coming and pouring their heart what is going on inside of them. And he is some of us. We have polished ourselves from outside. We have developed this theology that we can't be real with God because God can't take it. And God is saying, the one who was crushed, who appeared to be undone, who appeared to be not having it all together, who appeared to be they are overwhelmed with stuff and things are going wrong in them, and they came and they were real with me, God says, that is a right, that's my servant. That's what the scripture says. I thought Helena's going to say amen, but I'm not going to get that. Look at verse 8. And it says of chapter 42, now therefore take for yourself seven bulls and seven rams. God is speaking to the friends. He's saying, you guys, you're done. You are not righteous. He's saying to them. I want you to notice, I'm going to read the passage, but I just get excited. I want you to notice that the man who was undone, the Helena, let me just use Helena again. You're going to have to forgive me, Helena. Yeah, I will, she said. The person who is undone, who everybody thought doesn't have it together, everybody thought God has forgotten them, God has left them, God is nowhere near them. God says to the friends who had so much words to say to this guy, God says to them, I want you to take bulls and I want you to go to this man. This man is going to bring your offering. When this man presents the offering to me, because he's right, your blessing is going to open up. Amen. Listen to what God's word say. And it says this. It says this. Now therefore take verse 8 of chapter 42 of Job. Take for yourself seven bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall do what? Shall pray for you. The man who was outside from your eyes shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. This is where I like the Nigerian strong accent when they speak, when they say, I deal with you. Let me hear my sister. How do they say, deal with you? I'll deal with you. And God says, you have to go to that person, lest I'll deal with you. We have to go to them. God tells the friends, go to Job. Bring your sacrifice to Job. Let Job pray for you. The man you spent 35 chapters trying to correct, he is now with access to my ears, God says. Verse 9 says, for the Lord had accepted Job. Not the composed version. Not the polished version, not the chapter 1 version standing at the altar and for it at his best, the chapter 3 version, the one who had the ash version, the I wish I was never born version, the one, the version the friends had spent 35 chapters trying to fix, God had accepted him. Sometimes the distance you feel from God is not evidence of his rejection. Sometimes it is evidence that you are being more honest with him. Sometimes. You're being more honest with him than actually the people around you who look like they have it all together. Who look like they've got together. Job was not rejected in his brokenness. And I want to say to someone here who may be feeling broken today, God has not rejected you because of what you've gone through or what you're going through. You've not been rejected. Job was accepted, restored, and then honored by God himself. He honored him and he said, you are going to be the gateway back to me. The fire does not disqualify you from God's presence. The fire does not disqualify you from God's presence. In Job's story, it became the very thing through which Job found it more deeply. God's presence. Let's use, don't waste your fire. If you're in a fire right now, don't waste your fire. Let it become a gateway to the presence of God, where you can go before God and you can express how you feel honestly and genuinely before God. I know you all want to go home. I'm going to pray. Amen. But one question before is, who have you been listening in your fire? Who have you been listening in your fire? And what have they been saying about God to you? But today I want you to hear God's verdict, not Eliphaz. God is saying to someone here, my servant, my servant, my servant. You're going through it, my servant. You're still holding on. My servant. I don't know who needs to hear that word. My servant, my servant, my servant, my servant. This is what God says. I want to invite four groups of people today. Those who are carrying someone's explanation for your suffering. You've been carrying, people have said, pastors, could be even me, I've said something. And you're carrying that. Hopefully it's not me. And you're carrying what others have said about your suffering. A word spoken with confidence that it has added weight instead of lifting it. I want you to come and leave that weight here at the altar today and say, God, give me grace to walk every day understanding that you are with me. I'm not forgotten. And group number two, those who recognize that they've been a miserable comforter. That's probably many of us, if not all of us. That if you have been a miserable comforter to someone, I want you to come. You loved your framework more than you had, you know, your friend. Come. I want you to come. And number three, those who have no left words left to pray. You know, the fire has gone on so long. And you feel, you know, that you can't even cry. You can't even cry out. You know, your cry has gone quiet. I want you to come. Bring the open mouth. And God has been receiving open mouth for centuries. I want you to come. And then number four, those who have never given their life to Jesus. You need Jesus in the fire. If you are in the fire and you don't know Jesus, you need Jesus in the fire. Amen. Come and he, and you know, Jesus entered the fire of himself of suffering. He carried it on the cross. He receives people exactly as they are. So come as you are. And if you belong in any of these groups, I want you to come. I'm going to invite the prayer pastors to come. I want you to come. Anybody here who says, you know what, Pastor, I'm one of those camps. I may have given advice without actually seeking you first. I don't want you, God, when I stand before you and then you say, I'm going to deal with you. I want to come, purify my words. When I speak, help me to speak the word of God, what God is saying to people. Let me to be responsible with my words. So if you are any of those people, I want you to come. Anyone. Whenever God's word is preached, it's a grace window that God is opening, is bringing revelation to someone to say, let's make things right. Is there anyone here that fits one of those four, or actually any of those four? Or if I spoke to you in any way, God has been tugging your heart. I want you also to come. There may be number five, number six, number seven. I need you to come. The prayer pastors are here. Anyone? 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 Come. Let's clap hands for our sister Heather here. It's a good thing when you come. It's a good thing. Yeah. Come on, church. Clap hands for people as they come. Let's celebrate them. Yeah. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, Helen is coming. Somebody stand with Helen. Pastor, come, come. Yeah. Pray with Helen. Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone also who is in the fire and you don't understand the fire, you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, come, we'll pray with you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Yeah, come, come, come. People are coming. People are coming. Let's appreciate people as they come. It's the most difficult thing to come. Yes. Anyone else in the fire and you don't understand, come, 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 come. It's one of the most difficult things to come to the front. And as a church, we want to acknowledge people when they choose to say, I'm choosing to walk to the front and I'm seeking prayer on this. Yeah. If you are here, please do come and we'll pray with you. Just come, Father, in the name of Jesus. There are many here, Father. We have had to put on masks. We have learned, Father, to live life with masks on. even worship with masks on. We felt that they can't. They have to compose themselves. They have to pretend that everything is fine when everything is not fine. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are praying right now. If there is any healing that's needed for anyone today, Lord, anyone who's been carrying a word that's not theirs, we are praying, oh God, that you would meet them at their point of need. We reverse every negative words that doesn't represent you, that was said over your people. We reverse them, Father. We reverse them, Lord. Help us to come to you, Father, as we are. Help us to come, Father, honestly and boldly and say, this is who we are. This is everything we are, God. We are undone and we don't have it together. We are broken, but we come to you, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord God, here we are, God, not polished, Father, not composed, just honest. We lay down every voice. We lay down every voice that is spoken over our fire, Father. Every voice that is spoken over our fire that did not come from you, God. We lay it down. We bring you what is actually here, Lord. This is who we are, God. This is everything. This is everything, Father. We are here, Father. We are here, Lord. We are here, Lord. Withholding nothing. This is just us, God. Meet us, Lord, at our point of need. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us to be the church that is real with you, God. Real with where we are. Real, Father, with what we are feeling and what we are experiencing, God. Remove the masks even now. Remove the pretense, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Change us, Lord. We don't understand, Father, our fire. We don't understand why we are going through what we're going through. But our eyes are on you, God. Thank you that we are not forgotten. Thank you, Lord, that we are not forgotten. Thank you that you are with us. You see, Father. You see us, God. You see every word that has been said over our lives. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We bring our pain. We bring our suffering. Lord. Yeah, we don't have to pretend, God. We don't have to appear. We have it all together. Thank you that we can be real with you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bring healing even now, Father. Healing, restoration, Father. Restore your people. Holy Spirit, just move in power. Reverse every lie that has been said in your name, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We pray too even for our children, Father, that if there's any lies that have been said over them, we reverse, Father, we cancel every lie. Restore, Father. We receive, Father, we pray, receive what we have brought today before you. Receive our brokenness. Have your way, Lord. Yes, Lord. Church, the friends had explanation. Job had the relationship. And in the end, God said, my servant. May God's voice be the loudest voice in your fire this week. Whatever you may be going through, we pray that God's voice will be the loudest voice. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are not looking for polished people, but honest ones. Thank you that you are the Lord who sees the fire. Yes. You hear the cry, Father. And you stay present in the ash that we find ourselves in. Father, help us to reject every voice that misrepresents your heart. Help us to listen to your voice above all others, God. Silence all other voices, God. For those who are suffering, draw near, God. For those who need to make things right with others, give grace and humility, God. For those who came today with no words left, Father God, I pray, remind them that you are near to the brokenhearted. And may we leave this place knowing that your verdict is greater than our fear. Your verdict is greater than our confusion. Your verdict, Father, is greater than our pain. Finish, Father, in us what you have begun today. We pray, Lord, your prayer, we pray a blessing upon each and every family that's represented here. May you watch over them. May your face shine upon each and every family. May your peace envelop us, Father. Above all, may your voice be the loudest voice in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
with all you nothing, with all you nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you.
Withholding nothing,
I surrender.
I surrender all to you.
Everything I give to you.
Everything I give to you.
I surrender.
I surrender.
Lord, you don't care whether we're polished. You don't care whether we're put together. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to be perfect, trying to look okay. Help us, Lord. Let us not be conscious of others. Be worried about what people think. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, God. We're coming to the end of our service today. Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing and opening the word, your word, to us today. We need your wisdom and discernment to hear your voice in the trials. Help us know that you are found in the suffering. Help us to find you in the difficult places, to know that you are actually with us in everything. Help us to know the truth of who you are, God. As we go into this week, may our relationship with you grow in strength as we understand and listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. A notice of Father's Day barbecue, which is on Sunday, a week today, which is at 1:30 till 5:30. We're still seeking any donations from anyone that wants to give us. If they can please see Clarice at the back for how we can be supported, or see Auntie Larissa as well. Okay. We will need support in setting up, in welcoming people, in speaking with people, and in clearing up as well. Okay? And for those going to Bulgaria, hey. Oh, all of you. That's great. That's great. We have got a meeting today at 5:00 in preparing for the mission that we go on the 21st of August. And I do not have any names of anyone who's celebrating a birthday this week, but is anyone celebrating a birthday? No. Okay. Thank you. We have refreshments, tea, coffee, and some things to eat next door. Please enjoy. Please stay and fellowship together. The prayer pastors are still available. If anyone wants prayer, please do not feel that you can't have prayer at any time. Okay? Thank you. God bless.
Beginning and the end. God.